Yes, continue to pray for Robert Guilford Sr. He ended up breaking his hip in that fall, and he has a rod in that side of his body. And they cannot do surgery because they said he will not make it if they did. So, believe in God.
God situation.
Believe in God for the miracle of healing. He still heals his people.
Yes, for sure.
And then continue prayers for Linda Wascom. It's coming up on a year that we found Brandon.
I want to add my daughter, Haley Puckett, for an unspoken.
And then all those graduating, beginning their life. I mean, welcome to the world, guys. Yeah. It's now or not.
Right. Ready or not, here it comes.
Yeah, here's the deep. Here's the deep end.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, let's pray for these guys. So, Father, we thank you for Robert and for Linda and for Haley. And, Father, again, as we've just been talking about this morning, you know the design. You know the plan for their lives. You are not unaware of anything that's going on. And, Father, so I just ask that you would move in their lives today, Father, whether it be in the physical healing of their body, that price that was paid on the cross by Jesus to heal our bodies. Father, we receive that. And, Father, we just send that forth today for Robert and in healing of his hip. And, Father, it seems like in this situation that men have extent at the end of their knowledge to be able to fix this thing. But, Father, where the end of men's knowledge is, that's where you take over. And so, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for just moving in his hip. And, Father, we just ask for supernatural healing right now in Jesus' name. And for Linda, Father, we just pray for whatever her circumstance, whatever she's going through. Father, peace. We just thank you for peace in that. And for Haley, God, we just lift her up today. Again, you know every detail of the circumstance. And we just bring her before you today, Father. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would move in her life today. And I want to add one of my friends to this list, and her name is Sarah. God, I just lift her up today, Father. You have done an amazing work in her life. I see you just cultivating your spirit inside of her and just renewing her mind in places. And God, she's just going through some stuff with her family. And so, Father, I just thank you that you're going to move in that situation today again as well, Father, and that you encourage each and every one of these that we've mentioned today, Father, and that they would come to a deeper knowledge and a knowing of you, and, Father, that they would see that you are God and that you move in the supernatural things that men cannot touch without you. So, Father, we just thank you for all those things in Jesus' name.
We had one more come in. Lisa Taylor asked us to pray for her daughter, Ella, who is having an endoscopy and another procedure right now.
Okay. What was her name again? Her daughter's name?
Ella.
Ella, okay. So, Father, we just thank you for Ella. And we thank you if she's in the midst of it. Father, we thank you that you're directing the hands of every doctor, every nurse, everybody that's involved in that, Father. And let this be a situation where your glory can be seen, Father. That you will move in this moment, Father, and if it's just in the recovery or if it's in a supernatural moment right now, Father, that it doesn't matter. We thank you that everything we do, everything that we go through is for your glory. So, Father, we just lift her up right now and thank you that she's going to walk away from this in perfect health and in peace in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Heart to Heart Pregnancy Center is doing a baby bottle boomerang challenge. All you have to do is contact them, get you one of these baby bottles. They will throw it at you, and you throw it back at them. You just set it up somewhere in your office, in your home, or wherever, and fill it with change. Your change can help change lives. To get one of these, all you have to do is call 580-243-2229 or go by the clinic at 500 South Lusk right here in Elk City. Or if you're not in the area and you would still like to donate, you can send that to P.O. Box 2122, Elk City, Oklahoma 73648. The Refuge Church is now at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue, right here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Jason Mong. His title is Freedom in Christ. Back to you.
All right. So we're going to shift gears a little bit. We're going to go into Romans 7. So again, I'm just going to read this. I'm going to start down in verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. I have discovered this principle of life, that what I want to do what is right, inevitably I do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And he's asking a question. So I'm going to pause right there. This is another place, again, in our Christian walk as a new Christian. We'll go through and we'll read this stuff and we'll be like, yep, yep, yep. We identify with all these places, right? Like, how many times have I tried to do this? And what do? I fall off the wagon again. And then guess what? Then here comes the enemy to start beating me up and making me feel bad about it. And sometimes, I want people to realize this too. Sometimes it's not even the enemy. We have to understand we are our biggest enemy in a lot of times. And we'll try to blame that on the enemy, right? We are being the enemy in that moment when we're beating ourselves up, because again, we're not recognizing who our identity is in Christ. Because when we do this, when we fall or when we fail, all we need to do is just get back up. You know, the simplicity of, just like with my kiddos. So I've got 4 kiddos that I've tried to teach to ride a bike. And those kids, like, how many times did they fall and skin a knee, Bonk a chin or whatever it was in that. But every time we didn't say, oh, well, we're just not going to be able to do it. Look, we keep falling. We keep going. And that's the picture of the father, right, with the kiddos. And when they fail, when they fall, we don't quit. We don't say, oh, I'm never going to get this. I'm a failure. We're going to say, just get back up and try again. And what I really love about this picture, and there's a kind of a phrase that we coined, once you learn how to ride a bike, just always know. Mm-hmm. Like, and it don't matter if you learned at six, from six to 60, you get on the bike, guess what? You can still ride the bike. And that's the same picture in our Christianity. Once we get over that hump, once we realize, and that only comes by the truth of the Word of God, right? Once we get over that hump to realize, oh, I can do this, then it sets a course for our life. So then in those moments, because does that mean once I can ride a bike, that I'm not going to have crashes every now and then? No, because I am, mm-hmm. right? I have scars to prove it. in that place, just looking at that father and that relationship, God is always going to be there. And as we talked about earlier this week, like you just got the biggest cheerleader in your life. That's who he is now. Like God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And now that you've accepted him, that you can now have that relationship back by Jesus, then that's who he is in your life. And but what we'll do is we'll even read scripture in here and we'll start to relate to these things in a way that's like, yeah, like that's me. I've been saved for 20 years and that's still me. And that's why I'm here to encourage you today. If you're reading this part of 7 and you're saying, yeah, that's still me, it's because you need to continue reading. So I'm going to continue reading. What does he say here at the end? In verse 25, he says, thank God. Because the answer is in Jesus Christ. See, so you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I'm a slave to sin. And that rolls right over into Romans 8:1, and he says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And that's why I went into Colossians first, because if we look there at the end of 7, he calls it what it is. It's the sinful nature that is driving all of these things. It's the sinful nature in me that says, I want to do good, but I can't do it. I keep falling and I don't want to get up anymore. Depression, anxiety, all of these things are weighing down on me. I'm done. I'm finished. It's over, right? But that's only part of the story. We have to continue on. And even when we look at the letters of Paul, we have to understand chapter and verse didn't exist in this letter that he wrote. And sometimes what we'll do in those places, we'll go and we'll just read, oh, I'm going to read Romans 7 today. Man, you're going to walk away kind of discouraged if you don't see the truth of the scripture. Mm-hmm. Because if you didn't roll into 8 right off of the bat to say, well, here's all the problems, but guess what? Here's the solution. Here's the answer. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This was one of the biggest revelations in my Christian walk that I've ever seen in my life. Because like I said, after the age of 12, I walked into my teenage years as a young man and testosterone at the height of what it was and walking in the things of the flesh and those things drawing my life. And I didn't understand, man, no condemnation, that there's a voice that I can listen to, that I can tune out the others. And if any other voice shows up, I can just grab a hold of them and say, that's not what the word says. So you have no place here. You have no voice in my life. And what I began to realize, again, according to scriptures, as I spent time with God, I began to know that voice. And I use that example a lot of times in my teachings where if I'm at the end of my house and my kids' bedrooms are all the way to the other end, and we may have a group of 20 people that's hanging out at our home at a family reunion, whatever, and I can holler out, Lexton, Ileana, they know who's calling. Mm-hmm. Because they're familiar with my voice. Mm-hmm. And it's no different with our God. When we spend time, when we separate ourselves, like we talked about earlier, as Jesus did, when we separate ourselves and we just spend time with God, you will begin to know that voice. And I don't care how many other voices are in the room, how many other voices are speaking. When he calls, when he speaks, his sheep know him and they hear that voice. And he is always going to be the voice of direction. He is always going to be the voice of peace in your life in that way. And it is never going to be one of condemnation. And as we talked about Tuesday, if you guys didn't catch that one, go back and listen to it. That condemnation, who the Holy Spirit is, or that conviction word, right? He is not there to convict anymore, because what he did in Colossians 2 was, oh yeah, right? Mm-hmm. Circumcised out that voice that was the dominant in my life, that was the lead in my life. He cut that away and removed it away. And now there's this still small voice that has moved in, the Holy Spirit. As Jesus talks about when the disciples were, he was talking about his death, that he was going to have to die and go away. And they were like, you can't do that. You know, we want you right here, right now. But he was very clear, I can't. I have to go away, because right now you 12 are getting to experience the love of your Savior. But this whole world needs the love of their Savior. And as me going back to my Father, then I'm going to be able to send this helper that is now, and as we see the contrast of the Old Testament, and as we spoke about earlier, they only got glimpses. They only got moments of being in the presence of God. In that moment when Jesus died, that veil on that temple, as its significance being torn apart, where one man was once a year could only enter into the mm-hmm. Holy of Holies. Now, everyone, the guy from the front all the way to the back, could enter into the presence of his God. And in that place, it's because his Holy Spirit now lives on the inside of us. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, it dwells in us. We live in the presence of God at all times. We live in the Holy of Holies every moment, every hour, every day. We only need turn inward and say, you are where my help comes from, you know, and understand that. So in that place, guess what? There's no condemnation. So I don't care what voice tries to come, even if it's your own, to beat you up in your failures. Oh, wait a minute. That's still not obedient to Christ. So out of here. You have no place in my life. And in those places, you know, use the word. That's why he gave it to her. There's power in that. Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And I know people, well, that's kind of weird. It's not weird, because everybody out there talks to themselves when we're by ourselves, all right? We all do it, and we all know we do it. But it's like, I'm kind of weird when I'm talking to myself. You may say that when you think, but we all do it, right? Do it in those places, because half the time, most of the time, when this voice shows up, the voice contrary to the Spirit, when it shows up, it's when we're by ourselves. It's when we're alone in our thoughts, right? And so what's he doing? He's in there in those thoughts trying to give us all these distractions and all these things. And that's when you say no. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation. So get out of here. You have no place in my mind. You have no place in my life. Get out of here. And that is what the word talks about, is this word is like a two-edged sword, man. Mm-hmm. It's the sharpest one that you can make. And when it comes to knives, like when it penetrates, it cuts on both sides, right? And so use that word and let it go in and cut those things out of you that are trying to speak into your life that are not the things of God. And again, the importance of why I have to read the word, because if I don't read it, how am I going to know what I can say? How do I know how to speak that life into my life? What do I say? A lot of times we, and as the word instructs us, we want to lean to the understanding that we have as men. Mm-hmm. But what does the word say? Lean not into your own understanding, but in every way, acknowledge God. And then he's going to direct your path. Because most of those times when we're in our alone time with our thoughts, right? We're trying to think about, what am I supposed to do in this situation? Or what do I need to do here, right? And in that moment, the enemy's like trying to throw a distraction all the time in your way. And so take authority over that thing in your life and say, no, you don't have a place here. So now the peace of God moves in. I am attentive and hearing the voice of God. And now guess what? He directs my path. I know exactly what I need to do in this situation. And some people always ask me, like, how do you know it's God? How do you know it's God speaking to you? And my biggest answer is, are you at peace? Because if you're in peace, that's the Father. Because there's situations, even in, like me leaving the sign company and going into full-time ministry and doing this thing, like God didn't show up and sit down in a chair across me and say, okay, Jason, this is what we're going to do. He didn't. But in my time with him and just speaking to him and talking to him, he was leading my path. And what I seen, he was leading it away from something that he had blessed me with. But it was now time to move on. And how did I know that this is the moment? This is the moment to walk away, to lock the door and say, sign company is no more. I'm walking into the new things of God. Peace. Mm. Peace. Because in the man's understanding, there is no peace in saying, wow, I just have no job. I still got all the bills, but there's no job. That doesn't make sense, right? But what I've learned in life, God is going to call you to things that do not make sense. And just like I had mentioned before, in the moment where God led with Moses, the children of Israel, to the shores of the Red Sea. It didn't make sense. And then they look back, and there's an army coming. And that didn't make more sense. Oh, my gosh, they're coming to kill us. Army on this side, water on this side. We're stuck in the middle. None of this makes sense. That's the God moment, because it takes that moment for God to say, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you. And what he says in his word, I will make a way where you can see no way. And they didn't see a way. And fear was beginning to overtake them, right? But then God said, okay, now's the moment. And I had a mentor of mine this last week, and he mentioned this to me. And I thought, man, that's really good. He said, God showed me this. He said, how come God is, and I had mentioned this earlier, why is God always like the fourth quarter, last 10 seconds guy? You know, like, why does he do that? Because God never shows his hand to the enemy. Mm-hmm. When you're playing a game, you don't show your cards, right? God always moves at just the right time. And if he were to tell the children of Israel, okay, just hang out, watch this. We're going to part the Red Sea here in a minute. You know, he doesn't do all that, because the enemy is always listening too, right? God is going to play his hand, and that's why he always shows up fourth quarter, 10 seconds. Because in that moment, the enemy does not have time to make or counteract the plan of God. But God knows when my plan is enacted, it's in perfection. It's going to work. This is the way out. So in that moment, here comes the army. Guess what? And then God's like, okay, boom, Red Sea opens. And then they're just like, whoa, they have never seen God. 430 years they had lived in slavery and bondage and under the whips of men. And in this moment, God showed himself faithful in a way generations had not seen. Like, wow, you know? And just insert, here goes a rabbit trail real quick. We feel like that right now. Mm-hmm. This world is in a place of chaos, in a place where we're thinking, oh my gosh, this is the furthest away from God we could ever be. But I'm here to encourage the Christians that are listening to this podcast today. Understand that this is a Red Sea moment. We are standing in a moment of time where God is fixing to do something bigger than you have ever seen, bigger than anything you can ever think or imagine. Only believe, only position yourself to say, yes, God, I am waiting for you in this moment. I'm positioning my heart. I am going to segregate myself to hang out with you, to spend time with you, to read your word so that my spirit is emboldened, that I'm ready to walk out this thing that you have before me. Because here in the near future, life is going a little bit crazy. Things are fixing to shift in a way you've never seen them. Because at our politics, all of this thing, things are going nuts. There's a lot of fear and anxiety and all that stuff, and infection that's trying to be spread, right? But God is fixing to move in a way. So do not find yourself, as we see in the word, that the children of Israel are not in a place of complaint and just murmuring and all of that. Let's not do that. Let's understand the truth of the word. I am free. God has set me free. That old thing that drove me is no longer a part of who I am. Now the Holy Spirit lives in me. I am empowered. I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to open the word of God. I'm going to see what he has to say. I'm going to set the course for my day. I'm going to spend time with him in that moment and say, God, every moment of this day, God, I give to you. I thank you that you are going to bring people in my path that I can spread your love, your peace to today. Instead, we wake up and our feet hit the floor and we're like, oh, another day, work's coming, this, that, and the other. You know, position yourself to understand who God made you to be. You know, God made you to be something, not you. You didn't make you to be anything, but you could conform to what he made you to be. And that's your best life. That's where you're going to find that peace that you so long for in your life, because that's what everybody's looking for. No matter what they're chasing, that's what they're looking for. Peace on the inside. So let's continue just a little bit. All right, verse 3. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. In that body, God declared an end to sin control over our lives, giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, we who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So, Colossians 2, there's the key. And we read in 7, all of these things that, oh man, that draw, that lead, everything that was pushing me that way, God has removed that and he's made a better way. Now, instead, we follow the Spirit, because when we accept Christ, when we say yes, Holy Spirit is implanted right there in that moment. We now have a brand new spirit inside of us, so we are starting to walk by that. He goes on in 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about that sinful thing. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please God. So understand that now I've accepted Christ, that sinful nature is no longer there. You might be listening to this program today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ. And I just want to encourage you, you don't have to be in front of a pastor. You don't have to be in a revival. You don't have to be in, even in a church. You can fall on your knees right now. You don't even have to do that. Just speak the words with your mouth and say, God, I hear the truth of what you've said today, and I want a relationship with you. And know you might be in a sin struggle. You might be in a sin cycle. You might be stuck in addiction right now today. But God is here to say, I am here to set you free. And believe the truth of the word that you have seen today. That in that moment, as soon as you say, I see that you sent your son Jesus, I believe it in my heart. And now I'm confessing with my mouth, I believe it. I believe in Jesus. You have now entered into relationship with God. And this nature now that is driving you, that has become the force behind your life, behind your life, is cut away that fast. It's gone. And now you have a new spirit that will lead you into a life that you never thought possible, that up until this point you never were able to live. But I promise you, today you can live that life. Maybe you're a Christian, and maybe you just haven't seen the truth of the word. It is only that truth that will set you free. Because even some people have accepted Christ. They believe that Jesus did die, and they have a relationship back with God, but they haven't seen some of the truth of the word, and so they still aren't walking in the freedom that Christ paid for them. Again, because some Christians are caught in sin cycles, in addiction patterns, and all of those things. Just believe the truth of the word of God. Go back and read Romans 8. I haven't got to get into a lot of this. We're about out of time, but I want you to go in and read Romans 8. If you are in a place where you're just struggling, if there's something in your life that you feel like, I just can't get over this hump, it's because the truth has not yet taken seed in your heart so that you can truly be the captive that is set free. And let God and the Holy Spirit teach you in these moments. You know, and sometimes people always, you know, even this thing, like, I love to teach. God has called me to teach, but I'm going to be the first one to say, I will never bring a message that will change your life in the power of who Jason Mung is. I will not. It is the message, it is the word of God that changes. And that's why, even through my teachings, yes, I will show the revelation or bring the revelation that God has given me from his scripture. But that's why we read it. We read it word for word, because even as I read it, you feel that word penetrating your heart, man. It's going on the inside of who you are, and the Holy Spirit is the one doing the work. He is the one going inside and doing that change inside of you. Let me finish up real quick. I got one more I want to read. I'm going to jump down to verse 30 real fast, and I just want to end on this. And most of the time I don't do this, but just for the sake of time, we don't have time to read all in between. But I want to just end with this. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. That's who you are. That is what Jesus paid for. This is the life. God chose you. He has called you to come to him, right? And when you come to him, when you say yes to that call, he gives you right standing. And then in that moment, his glory. And man, there's no better place to be standing in the presence and the glory of God. Because in that place, in the presence of light, no darkness. There is no darkness. You know, I like, again, I think in analogies, you can't turn the dark down, right? When light exists, darkness does not. It cannot. And Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. And as we see in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when I accept Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in me, guess what just came in? Light. So all the darkness is now removed. All you need to do is, as we see so many times through the New Testament and Scripture, believe. Believe. How many times when the woman touched his garment, it's your faith that has made you whole. When the centurion came and he said, you don't even need to go there. I believe, I see who you say you are, and I believe what you say will come true. And his son was healed because, and Jesus even spoke to him in that moment, no greater faith have I seen than this right here, because I truly believe the words that were spoken. Get into the word, read the word, and believe it. Apply that measure of faith that you've been given, and the darkness is displaced in your life. In Jesus' name.
I want to share a little testimony. What my Lord did. So there was a time in my life, Jason, that I was so under anxiety. It was bad. I mean, it was after the loss of my husband, after the loss of my daughter, my world just crumbled. And it got so bad that just the thought, just thinking, oh, I need to run to the dollar store to get toilet paper.
Right.
Just the thought of having to walk out my front door and leave my house made me physically sick.
Right.
I would be at the toilet throwing up for an hour. With just the thought. And the Lord has brought me out of that. And whenever I started coming here and started getting in the word and really reading it for myself and applying it, you know, doing the best I can to get in line, to get Monica in line with what I'm reading. There was times that I would, it was a battle. I mean, I would have to put my dukes up, brother, just to get here, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, pull over on the side of the road a few times, you know. And recently, the Lord showed me something that he explained to me the other day concerning someone that I was sitting with. I could hear the demon growling. While the guy was sitting there, I mean, you could hear and you could see the evidence.
Right.
And I'm like in my head talking to the Lord, let me do it. Just give me the word, Lord, and I'll, you know, I'll help my brother. Just tell me, Lord.
Right.
And he told me no. And I was like, but Lord, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm coming. I came, the Lord helped me understand, because recently I've been the spirit of anxiety and rage and some other things that that our God has delivered me from has tried to come back on me.
Right.
Okay. And I've been, no, I'm not tolerating this.
Right.
I have the Holy Spirit in me, and no, you know, just with my words, using my words to fight.